The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. We will continue our series we started last week called Team Hope. The whole idea and picture here is that we are called to be a part of this team that brings hope to our world. This mission started ages ago in Genesis chapter 12 when God called a man named Abram. Said, I'm going to choose you and I'm going to bless you, but not so that you can just hoard all the blessing to yourself. I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations. And all throughout scriptures, we see God using his people to bless others. It's always been his plan. And here today in our passages of scripture we're going to study, we're going to see that mission magnified. We're going to see where God himself came, stepped into our world, our mess. He took on flesh. Jesus came to reach those others weren't willing to reach. And today I hope that you see that we as Team Hope are willing to do anything short of sin to reach people who do not yet know God. And so let's pray and dive into our series today. God, thank you again for your love for us. Thank you that you invite us to be a part of what you are doing to make your love known to those in this world. I pray that you help us to see our role as the church and bearing burdens and breaking rules sometimes to do things in your name. And I pray that you help us to see what this is all about as we look into your scriptures. In your name we pray. Amen. To kind of kick us off this morning, I've got that video clip I've mentioned a couple times in the past month. It ties into our theme for the day of seeing that God has called us to not just love on people, but to actually tell people about him. And we live in a nature and a society where tolerance is of high value, and we sometimes hide behind that tolerance, and we don't want to offend others, so we're hesitant to tell others about our religious beliefs. We are hesitant to tell people about the God that we love and that we know loves them. And so I want you to hear from the words of an atheist, how important it is for us as Christians to share our faith. This is Penn from Penn and Teller. Check this out.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position. After I was all done, big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props for that in his hand, because we'd give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, that's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show. And I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language. And complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it was from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New Testament, just part of the New Testament. A little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm saying I'm not crazy. But he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, if that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, like to show and so on. And then like 5 phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
So a lot to say about that. First of all, Rodney, are you thinking of teaching on Psalms? So we should buy New Testaments? For those of you who don't know, Psalms is in the Old Testament. But Penn is not a believer, so, you know, we're not going to fault him for that. My hope in my heart is that Penn comes to know Christ. I believe that his sensitivity to that man's reaching out is because the Holy Spirit is working on him. And together, you can be praying with me that God will open up Penn's eyes to truly come to know him. The whole point of what we're talking about today is that the church exists for those who are not yet in it. We exist to be the church, to reach those who do not yet know the love of Christ. And I want you to see that this comes from our prime example. We have a God and Savior who came to us to reach us. Jesus often was confronted by the religious elite of his day for taking the approach, for going to the places, for being around the people that were considered outcasts and rejected, sinners and prostitutes, and they lumped into that group, tax collectors. And here in Mark chapter 2, we see, we're going to look at the end of the chapter and then back up to the beginning. Jesus had been out, this is the last 3 years of his life, from the age of 30 to 33. He was here now to establish his church. He was here to raise up friends, disciples, followers who would continue the mission after he would die on a cross and leave to us the baton to carry from that point forward. And here, during the beginning, he's out sharing about the kingdom of heaven. He's taking care of people's needs, and large crowds are starting to pay attention and follow. And in verse 13 of Mark chapter 2, it says, "Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake." Now, the lakes were in the center of all that was happening in that time. Jesus wasn't hidden away in some synagogue teaching a small crowd that gathered. He was always out among the masses. Here he is, out at the lake, the epicenter of the community. And a large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, whose name ends up being changed to Matthew. He wrote the first book of the New Testament. Matthew. He goes up to this man, Matthew, his name here is Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at a tax collector's booth. And Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. And they end up spending some time together, and ends up, Matthew, Levi, ends up inviting Jesus to his house, and Levi gets so excited that he sends out a group message on Facebook and texts all his friends, the fellow tax collectors, and is like, "I've met this man, Jesus. You've got to meet him." And so he throws a party, and if you read the different accounts in his letter that he writes in Matthew, he brings all his fellow tax collectors in and those who are looked at as sinners, and they have this dinner with Jesus. Mark picks up and says here, it says, "While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who had followed him. When the teachers of the law, those Pharisees, the religious elite of the day, they saw this, when they saw this eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with them?'" Why is he eating with the tax collectors? Why is he eating with, who does he think he is? Doesn't he know that they are stained? They are full of sin. They should be outcast and rejected. Jesus, knowing this and hearing this, he says this. Look at the response of verse 17. "On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.'" And these next words cut them, shock them. "I've not come to call the righteous." Those of you who consider yourself righteous, he was saying, those of you who think you're the religious elite, "I've not come for you. I've come for the sinners." Jesus came to reach those who do not yet know him. This is still Jesus' mission today. He does not come to establish a club for himself of just righteous people, but his mission is continually about reaching those who are far from him. He said, "I came not for the healthy, but for the sick." I had a great example of this growing up. My youth pastor, Pastor Ed Mills, he was my pastor for the latter part of my high school years. And I remember Ed doing some awesome things to reach those who were not yet there. For most of us in the youth group, most of us were there because mom and dad said you had to go. How many of you grew up in a home like that? You were in church because your parents said, "We're going to church. You don't have a choice. Let's go." Anybody been there? A couple of you. How many of you are here because of that now? Okay, so we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. And you know what? My mission is Jesus' mission. It's to reach those who aren't here yet. So I got to know Ed as I was feeling called to go into youth ministry. He would let me shadow him as he was my mentor. And he would go out and he would go to the schools that many of us attended. And instead of just having lunch with us, he would introduce me to some of your friends. Introduce me to some people who aren't your friends, who you think know Jesus. And Ed would go and he would reach them. And I remember youth group one night showing up. And something was different because as you walked down the hall to the youth room, it smelled like the youth room became the smoking section at church or something. You could just smell the cigarette smoke. And I was like, "What's going on? There's something different tonight." And as we walked in, there was like 10 or 15 kids that we would typically call stoners. And it was just in their clothes. It was in their hair. I remember meeting Eddie and Heath that night. And both of them, they had like Megadeth t-shirts on and t-shirts with questionable sayings and leather jackets. And it was just like, something is going on tonight. It's just different. And then one of my Sunday school teachers, Frank, got up on stage and he had an electric guitar. And my youth pastor, I didn't know he could sing. And all of a sudden start playing this heavy metal music. And I'm like, this is different. This is kind of crazy. later that week, there was a meeting, and a lot of the church leaders came together and said, what was going on? What do we do about this? And I remember them, Ed sharing with me, the next week, a lot of them showed up, and they were all wearing camp t-shirts. And what had happened was Ed was told by the church leaders, okay, if they're going to come, that's fine, but you got to give them different shirts because some of the things they were wearing, some of the sayings that were on their clothes, we didn't like it. You get what I'm saying? There's sometimes we build these establishments where you're welcome as long as you look like us, as long as you act like us, as long as you... But Jesus said, you know what? I've come for the sick, not the healthy. The mission of Jesus was to reach the broken, the hurting, the lost. Ed was creative. I remember him, he recruited some of us in the youth group, and he's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a video. It's going to be a rock music video. We're going to let you guys be in it. You're going to be the stars. And remember this song. Anybody here have a VHS player? If I had one here, I'd pop in the tape. I got to be one of the stars in it, and I'm this teenager that becomes possessed while listening to rock music. It's pretty crazy. But anyway, that's the kind of youth pastor he was. He was about doing things different. And I want us to be a church, a people, that is willing to do things people aren't willing to do to reach people that people aren't able to reach. This is what I believe Jesus' mission was about. He didn't just come for the righteous. He didn't just come for those who had it all together. He came to reach those who didn't yet know him and didn't know better. Penn doesn't know that Psalms isn't in the New Testament, but hopefully one day he will. Hopefully we are praying as individuals that God is reaching people like Penn. God is reaching people that he's planted in you, places where you work, the places where you study, the places where you eat, play, shop. There are people that do not yet know God, and many of them are not going to come to our Sunday morning gatherings. But God has sent you into the world where they are. Jesus came for the sick, not for the healthy. And my hope is that we can become a church continually that is looking outward and not just inward, that we are willing to do things. As a youth pastor, I was given some freedom because in youth ministry, you know, you're allowed to push the edge a little bit. And so when Xbox first came out and that game Halo, yes, I know it was rated M, but teenagers were playing it. And so we got four TVs at Christ Our Lord Church. They gave me a budget to buy four TVs at Goodwill. They were big, awesome, heavy, honking TVs. We connected them through a network, and we had all-you-can-play video games. Kids would come over after school, and we would say, okay, stay, and we'll feed you. And it was always pizza. That's why I hate pizza now. And we would feed them, and then we would earn the right to be heard. We would get to share with them the love of Jesus. When I worked in Roanoke, Virginia, there was a church that grew quickly, and they thought, you know, how many saw the movie? What is it called? If you build it, they will come. That was the mindset of this church. They were like, if we build, you know, an awesome building, people will come. They built an auditorium that was supposed to be able to seat like 2,000. They ran out of money and they couldn't finish it. There was a gym that started to go in and they couldn't finish it. And it was a gym about this size and the church was real small. The people was a low number, and they hired me to be their youth pastor. And I was like, okay, we're not going to be able to finish the gym. Will you let me have it? And they were like, sure, what are you going to do with it? And I was like, I want to build a skate park. I'm like, okay, go for it. So we put half pipes in it, rail slides. We totally fit it out. And the first day we opened up that church skate park, 300 kids showed up. And we kept doing that kind of thing, playing Christian music, Supertones. Any of you guys remember the Supertones? Are they still around? Anyway, some good music. And sharing with them the love of Christ, giving them, instead of being rushed out of, you know, shopping centers and places where they weren't allowed to skate, we were like, you're welcome here. And it was awesome. It was a way of us bringing in the crowds, doing things a little different to reach people others weren't reaching. And I believe this is the heart of Jesus. And I believe that this is the mission that God has called us to. When we were meeting as a small group 7 years ago, dreaming about what a new church would look like, what Hope Hill Church would look like. I said, you know, the first several months, I don't want us to even have a service. I want us to instead, we're going to go as a group and we're going to visit different churches to see what they're doing, see what's working, pray and evaluate what God wants us doing. And there were models we were looking at that don't even have a Sunday service. We were looking at one model that just has small groups and bars and nightclubs. We looked at another model that just was like home churches, and once a month they came together as a large group to kind of celebrate what God was doing in their small groups. We were evaluating, and in my mind it was like, you know, just because the traditional church has a way of doing church, I don't know that we're just going to do it that way. There's not a chapter in the Bible that says, here is how you have to do a church service. So I said, let's just be open. How are we going to reach people in a different way? And so there are going to be times when, if you attend Hope Hill, where we won't have a service on a Sunday morning. We might instead decide we're going to serve the community this day. Instead of having a worship service, we're going to worship through service. We're going to do things that not everybody does to reach people that not everybody reaches. I think some people in the Scriptures began to get that. Look at Mark chapter 2, again, the beginning with me. Mark chapter 2. We see an account of a group of men who I believe start to get the picture. A few days, verse 1. A few days later, we get a snapshot again of another part of Jesus' life. When Jesus was again entering Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, they lowered the mat with the paralyzed man. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The first thing I want you to see here is that the real need was seen by Jesus before the obvious need was seen by everybody else. This man didn't yet know who Jesus was, and his sins were not yet forgiven. And so God comes to reach those who are spiritually paralyzed and physically paralyzed, and he offers them the greatest thing that can be offered, and that is eternal life through him, forgiveness of our sins and our life. And Jesus says to this man, "Your sins are forgiven." If you continue reading the story, those in presence were like, "Who is this man who thinks he can say something like this? Only God has the power to forgive." And he ends up saying, "You know, just to show you that I have this power, hey, buddy, get up, take your mat home." And the guy does. I want us to focus on the four men in this story. I want us to see that these men, they weren't initially there. They could have heard the announcement, you know, the Facebook post that went out saying Jesus was coming to town. And they could have rushed there so they could be first in line and rush into the house to hear the great teacher teach. But instead of thinking of themselves, what did they do? They went out and found a man who couldn't get to Jesus on his own. And that's what Hope Hill needs more of. We need some people who are willing to be a part of Team Hope, to bring hope, the hope that can be found in Jesus, to those who do not yet know that hope. We need people who are willing to not just sit in a chair, but offer hope by holding a child of someone who doesn't yet know Jesus so they can sit in the service and hear about the message of our loving Savior. We need someone who's willing to go out of their way to sacrifice their own desires to meet the needs of somebody that at work that Jesus wants you to reach. We have to be a people who are willing to do anything short of sin to reach people who do not yet know Christ. To reach people no one else is reaching, we have to be willing to do things no one else is doing. And when we begin to have this kind of heart, God will begin to change us. God will be able to begin to make us more like himself as we allow ourselves to be used by him to bring his love to those around us. Each week during the series, I'm going to ask you to kind of examine yourself. In your notes this morning, if you have them, you'll see a number line, a 1 through 10. And I want you, as I said last week, to examine yourself and look at your heart. Where do you stand when it comes to your love for people who do not yet know God? Where do you stand when it comes to your desire to reach those who do not yet know the love of our Father? If you're at that lower end, the 1, 2, and 3, you might be of the mindset of, you know, I just don't want to offend anyone. There's so many different belief systems. There's so many different ideas out there, and I don't want to offend my neighbor. I don't want to offend my coworker. And you're not even praying for them, you know, because you know what? If God's going to reach them, they'll figure it out. You might be at that lower end of the scale. Maybe you're someone who actually led someone to Christ recently. You're constantly praying about the people that God has placed around you. You're constantly praying for the efforts that are going on in the community you're a part of that might bring someone to Jesus. You might be that upper end of the scale. Now, don't circle 10 unless your name is Billy Graham or Jesus Christ, but you still might be on that upper end if your heart is constantly thinking about those who God has placed around you. We are called to be His ambassadors, His missionaries. We are sent by Him. Jesus said, yes, I am the Messiah, but you are the living stones. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and each and every one of you that are a part of my family, you are the stones that build up the church, the living body, and I am sending you into this world to show others my love so that they will come to know me as their Savior. Where are you on that scale? Regardless of where you land, my hope is that by being a part of us, you are being equipped and inspired and enabled to go up a step or two as you listen and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Jesus is calling us to be Team Hope, to bring His hope to those who do not yet know it. Two ways that we're going to do this. Number one, how are we going to reach people with the love of Christ? We've got to be willing to bear some burdens. We've got to be willing, like these men. Look at verse 3 again. Some men came, bringing to Jesus the paralyzed man. These four men carried him to Jesus. They weren't walking down the street and saw a beggar man and said, oh, hey, we're praying for you. Hopefully you'll get to know Jesus one day. No, they stopped in the middle of what they were doing and they picked up this man and they carried him. And it didn't just stop there, right? When they get to the house, what's going on? What's the problem? He can't get to him. The crowd is so big and the people apparently are oblivious to the need of the man behind them because while their eyes are on Jesus, their back is to those in need. And far too often, our churches can become places like this, where we huddle together and we take care of our own and we build family life centers for ourselves because we don't want our kids participating in sports where they might hear a cuss word. And we pull away from the world with our back to the world, but this is where God has told us to be. He's told us to be the salt and the light of the earth. He's told us to bring in kids with bad words on their shirts and make them feel the love of Jesus. Not shame, hey, you can come in, but put this shirt on first. We are called to bring people to Jesus, and hopefully we will never be a church that is so much about ourselves and our own crowd that our back is to the needs of the people around, that God wants to reach. And yes, we need to worship Jesus. There needs to be a time when we're being fed by Jesus so that we can then turn back to the world. So these people show up with this man. They've got him on this mat. They're like, I guess today's not the day. If God wanted us to bring this man to his son Jesus, he would part the sea of people. I guess we'll just go home. Is that what they did? No. And too many of us, sometimes we feel led by God, but when an obstacle's in our way, we think that's God's sign that he wants us to do something different. Sometimes we're waiting for an open door when God wants us to bust through a wall. Or dig through a roof. And so they're standing there and they're waiting. They've got this man. And they're like, we can't get in this way. Let's get creative. There's a roof. I don't know how they did it, guys, but somehow they got this man on his mat, climbed up on top of the roof. And if you study the architecture back then, the roofs were made sometimes of just posts kind of laying across. And they were sturdy enough, though, that you could go up there. If you remember a story in the book of Acts, Peter's like taking a nap up on a roof. And there's wood posts, there's thatch. And in the dirt that's brought up there, there's manure. By the way, sometimes we got to dig through some manure to get people to Jesus. There's some manure up there, and this roof is like a place where people can chill. They get up on this roof, and I guess one of them was a good Boy Scout and always carried a shovel or something with them, because they start digging a hole in this roof, and they get the hole big enough to where they can lower this man down to Jesus. Now, I can just kind of see it. They've got the hole. They're digging. Okay, Bob, Charlie, Joe, get a corner. All right, let's begin to lower. Okay, keep going. All right, that's about as far as I can go. I mean, that's a roof. There's a floor. I guess they just figured the man's paralyzed. We can't really hurt him anymore. So they drop him. Jesus will take care of it. We got to be willing to bear some burdens sometimes. And we got to be willing to break some rules. They took this man. They carried him. They weren't willing to just walk by and do drive-by witnessing. You know, Jesus saves! Hope you find him! You know, they took time to invest in their life. And this is what we're called to do as Hope Hill, to go into these neighborhoods, to pass out trick-or-treat bags to kids who don't get much, so that we can earn the right to have the door literally open, so we can say, we're from a church that really cares about you and your family. Or do you have any needs that need to be met? We would love to help you. We go in and we do boo bags. In a couple weeks, you'll be invited to be a part of passing out boo bags. We go and we participate in walks to love on people and paint their faces so that we can see smiles and have the right to be heard. We have to be willing to break some rules. How many of you have ever gone swimming without waiting 30 minutes after eating? Anybody? Come on, admit it. All right, some fellow rule breakers. Thank you. You're perfect for the mission. How many of you ever run with scissors? Okay, that's just dumb. You shouldn't do that. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, hopefully we will never be that crowd. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and they lowered the mat to the man. This man's life was changed. His sins were forgiven. He had healing, full restoration. Jesus wants us to bring people to himself. This is why we're willing to buy houses instead of building church buildings. This is why we're willing to have free sales and just give our stuff away. This is why we're willing to give up our weekends and serve at a clothing closet and help people in need. So we have the right to be heard. We need to be a church that is willing to do things others aren't doing so we can reach people others aren't reaching. My hope is you're willing to be a part of that kind of church. We need to take back the creativity and the innovation that has existed in the church at one time. But we've given Apple the right to be the most innovative place on the earth. We've handed off creativity to Hollywood. We've allowed the government to take on the responsibility of meeting the needs of the poor. We've surrendered relationship making to things like social media and Facebook. We need to take these things back. We are plan A for the salvation of the world. It starts with you and me. It starts with us becoming members of Team Hope. When I pray, I see a church who's willing not to judge others who don't have Christ, but to love them to Christ. I see a church who's willing to step aside to take care of the sick instead of just focusing on the healthy. I see a people who are willing to bear burdens to carry people to Christ. I see a people who are willing to show up on a Sunday morning early set up so we can have a place to love on people and share with them the truth of Christ. By the way, next week we have 5 AV members on the team, right? 5? Mason, am I right? About 5. All 5 are going to be out next week. So I might just be shouting next week. Okay? No fancy video or... We need some people who are willing to carry the mats of equipment, carry the mats of us being able to create an environment where people can feel the love and warmth. Are you willing to be a part of that team? Are you willing to be a part of a people who understands our mission is to reach those who are not yet here? So as we pray, as we go to prayer this morning, my first question to you is, can you picture in your mind right now someone in your life that may be spiritually paralyzed and God wants you to carry them to Him? Can you think of a coworker, a neighbor, a classmate, someone on your team who you see every day and you're not sure where they stand with Jesus? But God is putting them there. Mind, their name on your mind right now. You can see their face right now. Are you willing to carry them to Jesus? This is what Jesus is looking for. For those of you in this room who may not know Jesus in this way, my hope is that your eyes and your heart would be open to understand how much He loves you. And He knows you by name. He knows your hurt. He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything about you, and yet He still loves you. And if you were the only person on this earth, He still would have come and given up everything just to let you know how much He loves you. The Scriptures say that at the moment you come to realize that, and you call out to Him and invite Him to be the Lord of your life, He will come in and He will make you His child. His Holy Spirit will come in and begin to transform you into the person He's made you to be. That can happen today. My hope is that you would take that step and to invite Him into your life. Let's pray. God, I pray right now that we would understand that we as the church, while yes, we are to come together for times of equipping, we are to come together to study Your Word. We're to come together to pray for each other and build each other up and help each other to discover what it means to be true disciples. God, we're to do that all for each other. But ultimately, it's so that we can fulfill Your mission to go into all the world, to reach those who are not yet reached, to show others Your love, to teach them the things that You've taught us. You came for the sick, not the healthy. Many of us in this room, we were once sick. You came and visited our lives, and You began to take care of us. But now You invite us to that same mission of carrying Your love, and Your healing, and Your hope to those You've placed in this world. Help us to embrace that mission, Lord Jesus. Help us to see the people You've placed around us as people that You love, as people that You want us to be used to reach. Help us to take those steps to reach those people. God, I pray also right now for those who may be in this room today who don't really know You as Lord, who don't really know You as one that we've surrendered our life completely to. I pray, Lord God, right now, for those in this room who maybe have never called out to You and said, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life and be my everything. Come into my life and show me what it means to truly follow You. Come into my life and make me the child You've called me to be. God, I pray if there's somebody in this room who's never done that before, that they would do it right here, right now. The Scriptures say at the moment you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive you of all of your unrighteousness. though your sins be as scarlet, they will be washed white as snow. Jesus will come into your heart and take up residence within you and begin to transform your life and give hope and meaning and purpose. Father God, I pray that this is our heartbeat, our mission, that we would be willing to focus on those who do not yet know you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you are doing in our world. As we remember these things and our worship team leads us in a time of closing, on the night before Jesus was arrested, he took a piece of bread, and to his friends there, he said, "This is the bread that is a symbol of my body that will be broken for you. Every time you eat of it, remember what I did for you." And he dipped it in a cup, and he said, "This cup is a symbol of my blood that will be shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Every time you drink of it, remember what I've done for you." As you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you, laying names of people that God is putting on your mind, you know, when he was on that cross, we were on his mind. And not only us, but the names of the people that you're thinking of right now, Jesus was thinking of them then. And he now wants to use you to reach them. So as you feel ready, I invite you to come to one of our communion stations around the room and remember what he did for us, and let it be inspiration that we would now go and be used by him to reach those in our world that he has placed around us. If you've given your heart to Jesus today during our time of prayer, I'd love for you to get up and let one of our prayer team members know in the back, or come let me know. Or if you feel most comfortable, just lean over to the person you're sitting next to and let them know. But let somebody know so that we can celebrate that with you. And if there's something going on in your life that is just a struggle, we can bring any care to the Lord in prayer. We'd love to pray with you today before you leave. Regardless of which step you need to take, let God lead you as you take that step. God, move in our midst now, I pray, in your name. Amen. Respond now as the Lord leads you.